that this will be a blessing to you. I know it is for me. Woo, there's a mic there. So let me get my clicker here. All right, there is this horrible app and website out there that seems to have only been created to put overly stressed, exhausted women to shame. I don't know if you've heard of it or not, but it's called Pinterest. Once upon a time, I considered myself to be quite the little Miss Susie homemaker. I made cakes that I thought were pretty good, threw birthday parties in what I thought were very creative ways. And I like to cook and clean and sew. And then one day, somebody introduced me to this website. And I discovered a world of perfection. Perfect cakes, perfect hair, perfect houses, perfect everything. And I got so overwhelmed, I decided I was never going to have anything to do with Pinterest again. Well, it didn't happen. But that's what I decided at that time. Because I knew that I could never measure up to any of these things. And what I had found great earthly joy in, making people happy with the creativity from my own little brain, with my own little creations, suddenly made me too nervous to do anything because I didn't feel like I was measuring up. So like Pinterest, many women feel the same way about the Proverbs 31 woman. When I was first asked earlier this year to do a lesson on Proverbs 31 woman, I thought, yes, I've got that one in the bag, until I really started looking into it. And boy, there was a lot more to it than I had ever really imagined before. And I started talking to people about the Proverbs 31 woman, and I had always loved this passage personally, but I had so many women say, oh, I hate the Proverbs 31 woman. I hate listening to lessons. I hate going to it because it makes me feel like a failure. And that is not what we want. We get overwhelmed with the lessons and sermons of who we think this perfect specimen of God, a godly woman and wife. Ooh, what did I just do? Ooh, there we go. It's supposed to be. Just like Pinterest is in the secular world. And I've actually discovered many similarities between the Pinterest woman and Proverbs 31 woman. So we have an image in our heads of the Proverbs 31 woman being a modern-day Christian Pinterest woman. They both seem to have an exuberant amount of energy, which must be coming from a magnificent night's sleep enveloped in her beautiful handmade blankets and linens. Because she jumps out of bed each morning before dawn, goes to far distance fetching the best food for her family, no matter the distance to find it, runs a profitable business selling her alluring and perfectly handmade items that she whipped up with her handy-dandy $3,000 Brother sewing machine, while running the children to their various activities, of course, making sure they have cute, adorable, yet whimsical pinwheel and happy face snacks. She makes a couple of real estate investments, grits out a vineyard, and plants it, but of course only using the most secure and fashionably designed trellises. After which, she drops by her husband's office to bring everyone her yummy chocolate turtles that actually look like chocolate turtles. Oh, and I almost forgot. In her spare time, when most of us would want to be taking a nap, she is making charming holiday decorations for the widows and shut-ins in the church, then drops off last year's winter line at the shelter, blesses her out of work with six kids, neighbors, 10% of her day's salary, and then she goes home to read Bible stories and play games with her children, games that she created with her own hands and her 3D printing machine. Then she puts the kids to bed, sits at her husband's feet, massages them, and praises him for a hard day's work. So I am completely exhausted just thinking about all of this. But has anyone here ever met this person, like this exact person? I know a lot of us think that I have in my lifetime heard people say, boy, you go and go and go and go and do and do and do, and they think that this is me, but it is absolutely not me. So we don't know anybody exactly like this because this person doesn't exist. It is not possible for this person to exist. Many times we go to the Proverbs 31 woman, and we feel like we're falling short of what God expects us to be, especially when we pull out the frozen Stouffer's lasagna or wake up on a Saturday morning and find our kids plopped in front of the TV with a Pop-Tart in each hand. And don't even get me started on having to check out $20 for a dress for my daughter that I know I could easily have made from the scraps in my basket at home. So these are many of the feelings that I would get when I would fall into Pinterest. But I've learned that with Pinterest and the Proverbs 31 woman, I should use them as an idea resource book and not a law book. So let's look at what the Proverbs 31 woman, or what Proverbs 31 is really saying to us. First off, everything on Pinterest was created by a person, a human being. She's completely made up. So a couple of interesting things about this Proverbs 31 woman is, number one, this is a poem. It's an acrostic poem using the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. It was very common back then for people to use acrostic poems to help people memorize things, just like we do today. We'll use alliteration or acrostic poems or some kind of little catchphrase or something to help us learn chemical elements or history facts or something. And it was very common then, too. And number two, this was a poem written for men. It wasn't a poem written for women. It was written by a mother to her son to show him the kind of woman that he needs to marry, but also the kind of the things that a woman does for her family so that he would appreciate the women in his life. So what does this mean for us, though? It means that we have been given this great example and idea of the kind of woman that we should strive to be. We aren't meant to be exact replicas of this, though. None of these pins on Pinterest were created by perfect people who make perfect things all of the time. And just as the Proverbs 31 woman is not a perfect woman, which brings me to finally starting our lesson. We're going to start this morning by taking a look at who the Proverbs 31 woman is not. So, as I just said, the Proverbs 31 woman, she was not real. She's an idea, like I said. And I can assure you, had she been real, she would not have been perfect. Because we see in Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And we see in 1 Peter 2:22 and 2 Corinthians 5:21, where it speaks of Jesus being perfect. So Jesus was the only perfect person. He is the only perfect example that we have to go by. So these two scriptures show us that Jesus himself is perfect and that there might have been a lot of wonderful and amazing qualities about this Proverbs 31 woman, but perfection absolutely would not have been one of them. This is my son, Gavin. He's my third son. Many times we women will tell our children, grandchildren, neighbors, whomever, that we want them to marry somebody who, fill in the blank. Hopefully, Christian women, we would tell them, first and foremost, a good, godly Christian person. But then we throw in a bunch of other attributes. And quite often, I tell my son, Gavin, that he needs to find a wife who loves to iron for him, who loves to cook and clean up after him, but will not be taken advantage of. But also, somebody who will not get in his way of helping people and letting him be the servant that he is, and will use the godly gifts that she has been given to serve God and work beside him. The thing I want most for my children is a good, godly spouse who devote their life for God using whatever talents they have. So Gavin definitely has the gift of service. And I'm not talking about the kind of service that keeps my living room and house clean, unfortunately. But I'm talking about the kind of service that when he has a lunch and sees a homeless man on the side of the road, he wants to give it to him. Or wants to help people rebuild their fences without asking for anything in return. Giving his favorite toys to children who don't have any. So I long for him to have a wife who will stand by his side and be an encouragement to that gift and not a mosquito in his ear bugging him and complaining all the time that he's not spending enough time focusing on her. So this is how the Proverbs 31 woman was created. A mother who loved her son wanted to open his eyes to finding a good, godly wife and seeing what good, godly women do for their families. So number two, the Proverbs 31 woman is not the Lone Ranger. She did not do everything all by herself. So if we look in verse 15, we can see that she had maidens. If you have your Bibles out, go ahead and turn to Proverbs 31, because I'll be referring to the verses every now and then. So it doesn't say she had a maiden. It said she had maidens. And since she would have been a king's wife, she probably had several. So she had help. She probably had someone to help look after the children and while she was running errands. She probably had people to clean and do various things around the house. So if anyone here has ever tried to work with children in tow, cleaning with kids running behind you, or sewing, or doing anything, then you know what a struggle that can be. I used to get so aggravated at these two-hour easy patterns because I would sit at my sewing machine to whip one up, and the second I would sit down, I'd have mouths to feed, diapers to change, fights to break up, errands to run, and the 2 hours quickly turned into 2 months, 2 years sometimes, because all these children, they multiply the time that it takes to get things done. So we can't know for sure, but she probably had someone to clean her home, because it doesn't say that she actually cleaned, but that she was a good manager of the household, which meant that she knew how to handle things and get things done or have people to get them done for her. In verse 27, we see that she makes sure that things get done and they get done well and correctly. So don't feel like you have to do everything all by yourself. It's okay to hire out if you can afford it or ask for help. If you have children or grandchildren or neighbors who can help, put them to work. It teaches them responsibility and the importance of everyone doing their part. Don't ever feel like everything is on you to get everything done. I've heard the argument also that women today have modern conveniences of what maidens would have been doing back then. And yes, middle class America, upper class America, we do. But most of the world, they don't. Where we are moving to in Micronesia, it's very rare for you to even find electricity, much less a washing machine or dishwasher. And they definitely don't have maidens either. And one of the things that most moms would like help with is help with the children. Just watch them to keep them safe or keep them occupied for a little bit. And unfortunately, there has not been an appliance invented yet that can keep them safe, keep them occupied, and TV doesn't count. And keep an eye on them, change diapers, feed them. So appliances don't take the place of human help. So in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, we see that God said it is not good. Up until this point, every time that something had been created, it says, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good. And this is the first time that it says, and it's not good. When he created Adam, he said it's not good for man to be alone. So he will make a helper comparable to him. So whether you're married, single, widowed, or still a child, we need people in our lives who can help us when we need it. And we should not feel ashamed to ask for it. Sometimes it's our responsibility to be like Ruth. Ruth dropped everything to follow Naomi and take care of Naomi. But there will be times in our lives where we have to be more like Naomi and ask for help or accept the help when it is offered to us. And that's okay. Number three, Proverbs 31 woman is not the Energizer Bunny. It is impossible for us to go nonstop all day, every day. We need time to ourselves, with God, and to rest. Even God rested after 6 days of creation, and there's a reason that the Sabbath day was kept holy and they weren't to do any work. Exodus 20:8-11 says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do work, you nor your son nor your daughter nor your male servant nor your female servant nor your cattle nor your stranger who is within the gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now, of course, we're not commanded any longer to keep the Sabbath day holy, but we do still need time to rest. We need time with God. We need time to recharge our physical and spiritual batteries, because we don't have the kind of batteries that we can just pop out and replace. In Mark 6, 30 through 32, the apostles had been working hard all day long, reaching people nonstop, and Jesus told them to rest. In fact, he told them to just leave the people and just run away and hide for a little while. They hadn't even had time to stop and eat. So Jesus told them to sequester themselves and rest and recharge their bodies and minds. So she would not have done everything in this list every single day. There's not even that kind of time in the day. And has anyone ever heard of someone planting a vineyard every day or even gardening every single day? The weather, there's nowhere that the weather is conducive to doing it every day. So that alone will tell us that these are the things that she would have done. These are the things that a Proverbs 31 woman would do, but not necessarily every day, killing herself to get everything done. Lost my place, sorry. So when I look at my life, I think, all right, I've created this one little project that's actually good enough to go on Pinterest. One. So I post it on Pinterest, but that doesn't mean that everything I do is perfect. And I can even look at the Proverbs 31 passage and say, hey, yeah, I've done all of these things. I don't do them every day, but I do these things that she does. I don't sew every single day, but all of my kids own blankets and clothes that have been made by me. I don't cook every single day, but I definitely make sure my family is fed. So I can, So we have to do what we have to do to take care of our families. Everything will need to get done for our families to get taken care of, but we don't need to kill ourselves to get it done, and we need to let the family members chip in sometimes too. All right, in the business of sewing and cooking and running kids to soccer practice, do we take time to rest? Do you spend time with God? Do we spend time spreading the gospel and helping others? Luke 10 shows us in the story of when he visits Mary and Martha that the most important thing is time with him. Yes, everything else will need to get done eventually in its own time, but we have to put time with God first. This is one thing that we have to do every single day. Even I get to where I am going and going and going and doing and doing and doing that I sometimes forget my time with him. And I can definitely tell the difference between the days where I get the time with him and the times when I fall short of that. The number four, the Proverbs 31 woman is not a mold. She is not a mold that we all of us women are supposed to be poured into and popped out of. Romans 12, 6 through 8 says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. That's kind of a tongue twister. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 18 through 30. I'm not going to read all of it. We're just going to start at 18, read where it's yellow. It says, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? Do you hear that? If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Now we're going to skip down to verse 26. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, health, administrations, varieties of tongues? Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Again, if all were a single member, where would the body be? God needs and made a broad spectrum of people. He did not make us the same. Every woman does not fit into this exact example of a woman of valor. But she does have many characteristics that every Christian woman should have. And we'll get into that more in the next session. But each of our God-given gifts work together as the body of Christ and should be used to grow the church and spread the good news of the gospel of Christ. So we are to serve others using whatever gift we have been given, which means we are not all supposed to be the exact same or do the same things, but we are to serve the Lord in the ways that we can. Now last, number 5. The Proverbs 31 woman is not a Christian. She was actually a Jew. Now, this hypothetical woman in Proverbs 31, it was way before the arrival of Jesus, so we know that she wouldn't have been a Christian woman. But we can infer through the scriptures that she probably would have been a Jew, one of God's people at that time. So again, next session, we're going to be comparing her to how we are to be as Christians. But for the last point right now, we're going to take a look at how the Jewish people see this woman to be. The Jews do not see this poem as a chastisement to women, but as a love poem for everything that women do for their people. They believe that these verses 28, 29, 31 are commands to the men and children to praise the women who work hard for them. If we go back to the original Hebrew writing, we will see that the actual translation for the virtuous woman or virtuous wife is Ashet Ha'il, which actually translates into woman of valor, which we'll talk more about next session. So before the Shabbat, or the Sabbath meal, which is every Friday night, most Jewish men and children since the 17th century will get together and sing this poem to the women in their lives to honor and praise them for everything that they do for them. The women work so hard that by the time they get to this meal on Friday night, they've worked their fingers to the bones because they can't do anything on the Sabbath. So they have to prepare everything so that there's nothing for them to do. Plus, they have this huge, giant meal, and quite often they'll have company, neighbors or relatives who will come. And we all know that when we're going to have a bunch of company, we'll spend a few days getting ready, sometimes even the whole week, depending on who's coming and how our house is. So they do this every single week. So they work very hard. So the men get together and they sing the praise to thank them for everything that they've done. So we're going to listen to a little bit of this song that they sing. This is the Proverbs 31. Every single week. So many many times Jewish women will be praised with a big, Ashet Hayu, not to mean, hey, you fit the Proverbs 31 woman exactly, but more to mean, woman, you rock. Or really, in other words, way to go, brave and capable and strong, godly woman. So the Proverbs 31 woman to the Jewish people is seen as an exaltation to all women who work hard for God and his people and have the strength and bravery to be one of God's people. There is a joke in the Jewish community that goes, Ashet Hayils are rarer than rubies, but every Jewish household has one. But we might not be the perfect Proverbs 31 woman or Pinterest woman, but whoever you are, whether you are the Proverbs 31 woman or Pinterest woman, a housewife or whatever you are, you can still be a woman of valor for God. So Ashet Hayil to you all. Thank you so much for your attention, and I will see you back after the break.